coming in, sitting down right now, Rowan Barrett. Rowan Barrett, of course, currently the executive VP and assistant general manager of Canada Basketball and the MVP of the most recent tournament, RJ Barrett. Gentlemen, congratulations, RJ, on your success. Rowan, I mean, just as a proud papa, just it's a fantastic time for both you guys. Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for having us on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, RJ, you're going to have to get used to this. It's called gotcha questions. It's the media. So you're soon going to learn we're the enemy. You know, you got to look at us and you got to go, I don't want to talk to this guy. It'll happen soon.
Some of us are player apologists and basketball lovers who will never cast him in a negative light.
That's so. Derek Taylor, not me. I'm the other way. I'm here to take you down. Be honest. What was a better feeling? Beating the United States or winning the gold medal? What was the better feeling?
I mean, the gold medal, because if you beat the United States and then you don't get a gold medal, it's like, it would have been worse.
I understand that. There wasn't a part of you where, if you could measure the emotion, beating the United States, it was a little extra sweet?
Oh, it was definitely great. Definitely great to beat the U.S., especially in the semifinal and then being able to get a gold medal. But to be on the podium and having them sing the national anthem, that was an amazing feeling.
What was your expectations going in?
I expected to play good and expected for the team to go far. Mm-hmm. And coach said every day that this is a championship team, and we ended up winning, so that was good.
The smart coach. Had you played against most of those guys? I know you go to school down in Florida. Had you played against most of those guys before, or some of them?
Yeah, I definitely played against some of them before, so there was no, they couldn't intimidate us. We had guys on our Canadian team that also play in the States, so we weren't intimidated at all.
Tell me about the school you go to and some of the recent basketball alumni from your high school.
Go to Montverde Academy in Florida. Ben Simmons, D'Angelo Russell, guys like that went there.
Number one overall pick, number two overall pick. Luke Richard and Bob Mute went there as well. What was the fourth? Oh, Joel Embiid, who's a decent little basketball player. Right there. Were you with the tournament with the American team? We're all deliriously excited about it. From a competitor perspective, were you disappointed some of the bigger American kids weren't there? Like kids who were just going into school. Michael Porter wasn't there. I wrote it down. DeAndre Ayton is the name I keep forgetting. Were you disappointed not to be able to go with those guys?
I mean, I already played against those guys like in other events like the Hoop Summit. But we also had guys missing. So
for sure.
It was like we matched up evenly, but always want to play against the best. So if they were there, it wouldn't have been any different.
You'll take whoever you get.
Yeah.
Joined in studio, RJ Barrett and Rowan Barrett. Rowan, I got a bunch of questions for you. Do you want to start with the fun one, or do you want to or more serious?
Let's go. You throw it right away. Let's go.
Okay, you played professionally. I'm going to start with fun. You played professionally Spain, Argentina, Venezuela, Cyprus, Greece, Israel, Italy, and in France. Worst hotel you ever stayed in? Craziest road trip? Oddest fan interaction? Any of the stories from any of those countries, your favorite ones?
You know what? I think I could remember we were playing with the national team, actually. I can't remember the year. And we were on the road. I think it was in Argentina. Mm-hmm. And I was rooming with Steve Nash. And, I mean, we're friends and you know, we like each other. But I think our beds were just a little bit too close. I mean, the room was like a cell. I mean, there was absolutely no space.
Was it like two single beds that were pushed too close together?
Right together. Like, I think I could feel him breathing on me when I was sleeping. Like, it was absolutely terrible. We didn't eat properly for like 2 weeks. But somehow we came out of there, you know, with the win, which was good. But definitely difficult. Some difficult times traveling overseas, for sure.
Now, I imagine you're going to have an easier time with this, because we were talking before about how do you keep your son grounded. When I was 17, if someone had said to me, you know, as long as you stay healthy and your career arc continues as it has been progressing, there's a very good chance you're going to be the top or a, you know, top three draft pick in the NBA. You tell that to a lot of teenagers, and when power and fame and money are in front of you, that can do wonderful things, that can corrupt you. I mean, just especially at that young age. And it feels weird saying it because your very successful son is sitting here to my left. How do you keep him grounded?
You know, I think the first thing is that there's nothing given and there's nothing expected, you know, for us in our home. You know, and my wife and I, our first focus has been to kind of raise a good individual that can be able to somehow contribute to our society. You know, what happens when the ball stops bouncing? And so for us, he has his goal. You know, he wants to make the NBA, he wants to do all that, but there's so many steps on that ladder to getting there. And so what we're trying to do is stay in the moment daily and focus on that. For example, he knows that if he's not doing his schoolwork, you know, we're going to pull him off the floor. Mm-hmm. And that's going to happen. You know, he's doing well. He's on the honor roll, and he's speaking French and some Spanish and English. And
you your know, son is shaming the rest of us.
He's doing well. But, I mean, that's the point, right? It's like focus yeah. on now he wants to get a driver's license. He's got to get a permit, you know, for a driver's license. You know, let's understand what a 16, 17-year-old does. And let's do those things. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on the things that we have to do. The basketball will take care of itself. I think he's in a great environment. He's got the best coach in America down there. He's got the best competition schedule. You know, they have all the training hours, all the facilities. As long as he keeps going on that road, things should be fine. But, you know, let's make sure that we round him as an individual. And that's been the focus of my wife and I. And, you know, sometimes it's not always fun when he's got to take out the garbage or clean his room or, you know, do those things.
By the way, RJ is shaking his RJ, you're shaking your head right now. Your thoughts on your dad's answer?
Well, the garbage and the dishes, I hate those.
Yes. But the garbage is easy. It's just it's the end of the block. Oh.
It's not that. It's they make me go gather up all the garbage, put it in, and then take it out.
Okay, so that is like, the extra step.
Yeah.
Millennials, you can't be doing that to them. You got multitasking to do. That's all. RJ, how did you get to high school in Florida? Why Montverde? Why? I mean, we all understand why leaving Canada, but why that particular one?
I had a couple of schools I was looking at, but as soon as I stepped on the campus, went on a tour, I watched a practice, and I told my dad right away, I was like, this is the place I want to be. It's just, I don't know, I was just attracted to it in some way. That, like, it's a private school, it's strict, and there's, the level of competition is really high, and I always want to play against the best competition, so that was a big one for me.
Was it hard leaving home? I would have left home a couple of years after you, but was it hard, you know, leaving home to go to school?
My first year last year was pretty hard, you know. Being away from home, having to call my parents, and them not being there, it was kind of hard. But second year, I got used to it.
Yeah, you end up. I mean, a lot of guys, I suspect, are in the same situation. You have a teammate from Aurora.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Memhart. Same situation, right? Yeah. So you have people you can collaborate with. So how much time do you get? Like, you obviously have school time, but how much basketball time do you get in a regular week?
We practice every day. I think we we go before, even like during, like if we have a lunch break, we could go. After school, we go. So, I don't know, we could go 3 times a day if we want to.
Go home, PlayStation, NBA, 2K as well.
Homework.
Really?
Good answer.
We have 7 to 9 study hall every day.
Because no matter, I mean, we were just talking about it before. You're the number one prospect for the class of 19, but then you look at Scalabissier was the number one prospect. He didn't do well his particular year at Kentucky. Kentucky's had a bunch of them. The Harrison twins were supposed to be a big deal, and all of a sudden they're there for 4 years. Harry Giles, you just, from your age to 20 is, who knows, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. That's why I stay grounded and keep working.
Rowan and RJ Barrett joining us here on Overdrive. That's Sarah Taylor, Matt Kauz. Last question for you guys, at least on my end. Was there a moment, like RJ, was there a moment when you were playing, when you realized, wait a minute, I can compete against the best? And Rowan, you know, you've seen it all when it comes to basketball. Was there a time when you watched your son play, when you're like, oh, wait a minute, this isn't just a guy who could be great at high school, oh, you know, maybe play a little university and then move on to the next stage of his life? RJ, I'll start with you, and then Rowan, maybe you have the same answer, but was there a moment for you?
I don't ever think I had a doubt. I always thought I could play, especially watching my dad play overseas. So at the beginning, I thought I was just going to go there automatically. I thought it was a normal thing. But then then getting to the States, it really gives you a reality check. But I always knew I could play against the best. That's why I always like to play against the toughest competition.
Mm-hmm. Pappy?
You know, I think, first, there's one thing I want to make really clear. I think that the decision to go to the States to go to school rather than stay home has to be an individual decision for each athlete. Mm-hmm. And I think especially here in Ontario, we've created this Ontario Scholastic Basketball Association that has multiple teams in their high-level competition that is great. It's a top-level, good level for the majority of our athletes. So that didn't really exist for him before he left. It wasn't at his school. And so we had to make some decisions that were good for him. But I do think that in terms of one with my first inkling, I think it was coming out of eighth grade, he was playing in the national championships for his provincial team, mm-hmm. Ontario. And they were playing older boys, trying to figure out high school boys playing against Quebec. And they were close in the first game in the round. They won by, I think, 3-4 points. And then in the final, they were a buzzsaw, and he was 37 points, in the final and took the MVP. And that was probably the first time on the largest stage for him to that point that I saw him able to just completely elevate, his game. And that gave you, wow.
Yeah, then it's like,
could this be, a picture of what it's going to be in the future? And then now, obviously, a few years later, he's kind of done it again. So, he's holding true to form so far.
Well, yeah. It's fantastic. And again, guys, congratulations on all your success. I wish we had more time. We got to go, but Rowan...
Can I make one plea?
Yes.
Wherever you decide to go to school, whatever it is, it needs to be a good school, because we on TSN are going to air every game of yours. We aired every Jamal Murray Kentucky game.
Very good point.
Every Andrew Wiggins Kansas game. It was on TSN2 at 8 o'clock. Yes. So wherever you pick, it could be Oregon is particularly popular with
Canadians.
No.
Do not
Canadians.
Pick the Pac-10. No West Coast.
No Pac-12.
East Coast.
That's right. East Coast, huh?
That's a lot of Bill Walton if you take Pac-12. Yeah. That's right.
Go to Syracuse. It is beautiful in the winter. It's scenic.
Any chance he goes to St. John's?
Scenic, huh?
Scenic is a good way to put it.
Do you like shoveling snow?
You like snow.
Yeah, you like snow.